Cool. Let me start. My name is Zasir. I work at Grafana in the AI team, which is why I'm giving a talk at the Embedded Track. I'm going to be talking about how I'm interacting with Tesla vehicles locally, no internet, no nothing, over Bluetooth Low Energy using ESP Home. Before I start, whenever we say Tesla, obviously we have to mention the richest man on the planet. So next time I'll be a good European citizen and buy a German car because German car brands never did anything controversial. Let's start. Cool. Where did this start? It started with Home Assistant. About 2 years ago, I got into Home Assistant. If you haven't gotten into Home Assistant, don't, because it's a rabbit hole. But I had an electric car, I had solar panels, I have a home battery, and I was like, there's something cool I can do here, right, with all these things. So I'm doing something called dynamic charging, which means like I'm using my solar excess, I'm using the battery if I need to be somewhere quick to boost the charging speed. I can do load balancing, so if I, like, you know, somebody is turning on the furnace, it can like lower the amps going to the car. Overload protection, which means like the house doesn't go over, in my case, like 9.2 kilowatts maximum. I can do off-peak charging. And also in Belgium, I live in Belgium, by the way, we have this thing called capacity tariff limits, which is a great thing that our government did. And it means like, you know, if you have an electric car and you're charging, you need to make sure that you don't charge too much at the same time. It checks every 50 minutes how much you've used and uses that to, like, basically you pay something extra every year. All of this system is hooked up, like, you know, in Home Assistant, I've got like a few settings that I use. And it just updates up to every 10 seconds. So every 10 seconds I go, how much amps should I be sending to the car? Whether it's plugged in, whether I have solar, whether I have stuff in my battery. So if you count that up, that's about like 8,000, more than 8,000 commands per day. And this was working all fine, right? My Home Assistant was going to the Tesla Cloud. The Tesla Cloud would send the command to the car. And every time there was an update, I would update the amps, use the Tesla API to send that to my car. But then sometime last year, Tesla introduced rate limits, right? And they were quite severe. Like, they introduced rate limits where you could only send 50 commands per day to the car. I was sending more than 8,000, so obviously this was not going to work. So I was like, okay, what can I do? Well, before this, I started getting into like ESP32 devices, and they're quite nifty. You know, they're low cost, they're low power, they're pretty small, so you can like place them anywhere in your home. And they've got Bluetooth Low Energy built in, which is the protocol that Tesla uses even in their app to communicate with the car. But it does come with its challenges, right? There's only like 2 MB of flash, so it's quite limited. Not a lot of RAM. It's quite low power. There's just a single core running at 160 MHz. And like, you know, ESP Home, doing ESP Home with custom C++ is not the easiest thing in the world, but we gave it a go. The good news is that Tesla actually open sourced their entire vehicle command. So they have their entire vehicle protocol, how to communicate with the car, in an open source Apache 2 license Git repo, which is great, right? Like, this provided me a starting point. The only problem is like this was written in Golang, and obviously doing Golang on ESP32, while technically possible, not the greatest idea in the world. One thing, well, the first thing you need to know about Teslas. Tesla actually has like two subsystems in the car, right? So there's a system called Vehicle Security, VCSEC, and there's a system called Infotainment. Usually, like, you're always talking to this VCSEC subsystem first. It controls the locks, it controls remote start, it controls things like opening the trunk. You can also get some like simple data about the car, like, you know, is there a user present, are the doors unlocked or not, and is the car awake or not, which is important. And the main thing that this system is always on, right? It never goes to sleep, it's always listening. Infotainment is where the interesting commands are, right? Like the charging commands, they all live in infotainment. If you want to heat your car, that lives in infotainment. If you need more data about the car, like what's the current charging percentage, that lives in the infotainment as well. And that's a recent change. That is one nice thing about Tesla cars is that you do get pretty much, I get more updates than even on my iPhone. And like they added this in a recent update just 3 months ago. The only thing with infotainment is like it consumes a lot of power. So it will go to sleep when it is not active. One more thing to note, each of these domains, they have their own public key. So they have their own like separate handshake and also a separate session that you need to like authenticate with for each of the two. What else? This is kind of what it looks like when it's all finished, right? Like I on my ESP home device, there's a pair button. You click it, you go to your car, and suddenly this thing pops up, right? It says, oh, a new phone key wants to be added. When you add it, it actually shows up as an actual key in the car. So depending on like your permissions, you can even like drive the car with an ESP device, which is maybe cool, but also a security risk, potentially. You get a few controls, like, you know, you can change the charging amps, charging limit. I've only implemented a few, but really we can implement all of the, like you can do the same thing you can do on the app, including driving off with the car. This is what the vehicle protocol actually looks like, right? Like this is what the messages look like that you send to the car, but also the messages that you get back from the car. Tesla has this thing called a universal message, and this is what it looks like. It's encoded in protobuf. For those that don't know about protobuf, it's a binary format, kind of like, imagine like JSON, but in binary format. So very efficient, and also it's strongly typed, so you know exactly what you're gonna get at that point, at that byte. And you'd also know how to encode and decode it. If you look at this message, for example, you know, you can see that, like, you know, I kind of try to highlight it to give you an idea of what that looks like. You have a to destination. In this case, like, you know, I'm sending a command to the infotainment domain. You have a from destination. That is just to tell the car where the message is coming from. You have a payload. This payload is encrypted, right? So this is a protobuf message. That thing actually, like if you decode it, this is a charging set limit message. And I think in this case, it's like set the charging limit to 82%. And the car needs to figure out how to decode that using, obviously, you paired the key before, so it has a private key. But also, you have to send a signature data. And this signature data includes some stuff you got from the session information. So things like, you know, every time you try to talk to the car, if you send it and it has an invalid signature, it will actually send you back a session information and tell you, like, okay, this is the latest counter, this is the latest like key identity, and this is how you should, like, you know, use this to encrypt the message that you're trying to send. And then finally, a request UID. This is mostly useful for debugging. You can use this to figure out, like, you know, did my request go true, why did it not go true, and so on. One last note, I use NanoPB. NanoPB is really useful for embedded devices. If you want to do anything with protobuf, use NanoPB. Super cool project. What else? ESP BLE. ESP has some built-in Bluetooth Low Energy APIs. I'm just giving you like a few pointers. There's these like events that you will get that you can hook into and then tell like in your C++ code, you can basically like do a case statement and then switch between what you should do. So we have like an event for when the connection is opened. We have an event when the connection is closed. Once we are connected to the car, we can also say like register to notify. We handle incoming data. Incoming data, also pretty weird. It doesn't always come in one chunk. Like sometimes you need to get like multiple chunks and add them up together. So you need to buffer them. And then also there's an API to send data. Then the final two things, I know I'm almost out of time. One thing I did because of this, like, you know, this chunked incoming messages, and also just to make things a bit easy for myself, instead of like trying to do everything in that event, I did implement a sort of queue system. So every time a message comes in, goes into the queue, and then like I can read that, parse that, fill in the chunks, same with writing, and same with commands. And the last thing is I'm gonna talk about the command state machine. Like I said, there are two vehicle subsystems. So even if you want to do something simple, like I want to change the charging amps for the car, charging is in the infotainment domain. You can only talk to the infotainment domain if the car is awake. So first, we need to check, is the car awake? Cool. Wake up. If it's not, wake up the car. Oh, wait, I haven't sent the message to the car for a while. The session info is outdated. So now I need to get new session information, wait for that new session information, update the key information from the session, then wait for confirmation that the car is awake, then send the command, and then wait for the command to be confirmed. Obviously, just for my own sanity, I also have built-in retries because Bluetooth Low Energy, it can sometimes, you know, the communication can fail. Sometimes the car, like you send the wake command, the car doesn't immediately wake up. You need to send the second wake command. And yeah, that's about it. Am I on time? Cool, that was it.